All God's people said.
I hope you appreciate Ashley's playing. When I come here, I just love to sit here. I know I should be fellowshipping more, but that's probably where I got this, so I don't want to no, I don't know that. But thank you, Ashley, and Danny, as well as leading the music. I think this is a fairly good crowd when you consider what's been going on here. And how come you don't like me enough and give me that? I don't think you did it. I know this, the Lord allowed it. Because we're going to see that if you take your Bibles. You say, you mean God allowed me or allowed you to get COVID-19? The answer to that is emphatically yes, for His glory. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21, or chapter 11, if you will, please. And in doing so, I draw your attention to the story of the raising of Lazarus. It's quite a story, is it not? And I want to look at several truths in this story here as I look at it. I want to notice, first of all, the depth of our Lord's love. You know, it's oftentimes when we're going through trials and tribulations, as he talked about Job this morning, sometimes we question, Lord, do you really love us? Well, the answer is an emphatic yes, God loves us. So we're going to look at the depth of that. And then we're going to see the delay of our Lord. Our Lord delayed his coming to heal Lazarus. Why did he do that? I'm glad you asked me that question. We'll find the answer in the Word of God. Then we're going to notice the disappointment of Mary and Martha as they confront the Lord with the question, if you'd have been here, he would have been well. In other words, I want to put a guilt trip on God. I suggest today that you do not put a guilt trip on God. That will not work. And then we notice the deliverance from the grave. Father, I pray this morning, as you meet with us, that the Word of God will become very precious to us as we look at this wonderful story in our Savior's name. Amen. Draw your attention to verse 1. Now a certain man, chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, I want you to go over to verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, that's important because you don't see this in your English Bible. But in the Greek, there are two words here for the word love. They're completely different words. Look at verse 3, first of all. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. That's the Hebrew or Greek word phileo. You're familiar with Philadelphia? How many have ever been to Philadelphia? Pardon my grammar, that ain't the city of brotherly love. You could get your throat slit there pretty easy. But it is called the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. That's the word that is used here. It is a word which is a devoted love. It's a devoted love and a very important love. I love my family. You love your family. You're devoted to them. And thank the Lord, I hope you are devoted to your family today. That is a devoted love. It's a family love. But there's a separate word found in verse 5 for the second word, for the word now. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's the word agape. Whereas Philadelphia or phileo is a devoted love, this is a divine love. A lot of times in my ministry down through the years, I've had people come to me with marital problems. It is very interesting. I've had a fellow come to me one time and he says, I'm going to want to divorce my wife. And I said, well, I don't love her anymore. And I made this statement to him, I don't think he'll ever forget. I said, what's that got to do with being married? You mean love? He said, love's important. I said, the word love means obedience. Loving your wife there. And the problem is this. Devoted love will fade out if it's not supported by divine love. Let me say that again. Now look at verse 5, because again, something else. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The word loved here also is in the imperfect tense. It means continue. Devoted love may fade out. The only way to renew that devoted love is through that divine love, and our Lord gives us that love for one another. I have to say this with all the dogmatism I can tonight, this morning. I love my wife more today than I did when I married her 59 years ago. And I believe she loves me more. I told her one day, if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. I need her, I love her, and I thank the Lord for her. Because that love that we have in Christ is the kind of love, a divine love, that is the glue that holds a man's love for his wife and his wife's love for him together and love for the family. By the way, that divine love is needed in our churches today. It is a love that will hold us together in the midst of everything that goes on in our life. How vital that love is. And we need both of them. It is devoted love and divine love, but a divine love that ensures that devoted love will go on and on and on. And if you have problems in your marital life, find out what your relationship was with Christ. If your relationship with Christ is not there, it will affect your devoted love in your family. Keep that in mind. Now, notice something else here, and I want to draw your attention, because before we get to the delay, our Lord delayed to come, I want to talk about the deterioration of the body. Notice when we come over here to verse 4. Look at it with me, please. This is a key verse here. I draw your attention. When Jesus heard he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. I want you to underline that thought there this morning, because everything that happens in our lives, all sickness, is for the glory of God. God is in charge, and God knows what he's doing. Now think of that word death here. He whom thou lovest is sick. Why is there so much sickness? Why is it going on today? Well, let me give you four reasons why there's sickness going on today. The first one is the dying of the human body. You know, the day that you were born, your body began to die. You don't believe that? Go look in the mirror. You're dying. My hair is already died, but your body is dying. I'm reminded over there in Psalm 89 in verse 49, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah, think on that. When my wife and I just recently had the COVID-19, we almost had to go to the hospital. God spared us of that, and we were thankful. But I got thinking about the fact that here I'll soon be 80, and you know, there's not many more years on this earth here left, but that's okay with me. You cannot scare me with death, because we have that assurance to be absent in the bodies and be present with the Lord. And so we see here the truth of that. There's the dying of the human body. Secondly, there's the decadence of wrong living. How do you take care of your body? You know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. By the way, the body is not a dumpster to put in it anything and everything you think it's okay to put in there. You better be sure of that. I tell you today, we're living in a fast food society that people are putting stuff in the body that we just, it's deteriorating the body. We know there are other things as well. Familiar with the Reformers Unanimous? How many are familiar with that? Good outfit. The fellow who started that, now home with the Lord, godly man. Before he got saved, though, he was heavily on drugs. And God took him out of this world early because of the drug situation before he got saved. You see, the body, folks, it is not only the dying of the human body, but it's the decadence of wrong living. Take care of the body. It's the temple of God. Amen? Say amen to that. I want to hear you say amen to that. Take care of the body. Amen to that. that his nerves not. Why is there so much sickness? Not only the diet of the human body is dying, it's getting sick. Things that we used to do, we can't do anymore. But my grandchildren come home from the mission field. They love to climb trees in Panape. That's okay. When they come home, they want to climb our, and I look, I'm like, man, they're going to fall from there. And I forget, when I was that age, I used to do the same thing. Now I'm afraid to walk around my 2 acres of property without a stick in my hand to make sure I don't fall. I know, I guess most of you know what I'm talking about there. The third reason is the attacks, the devil's attacks on the body. Not only the diamond of the human body, because it's dying, the decadence of wrong living, but the devil's attack on the body. Over there in Luke 13, verse 16, we're reminded of the lady who Satan had bound. I'm thinking of Job. As our brother taught this morning, Job was attacked by Satan. A lot of times we are attacked by Satan. I want to tell you that's true. I'm convinced of that. I go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, referring to the Apostle Paul, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. So we realize these attacks not only come from the dying of the human body, the decadence of wrong living, but the devil's attack on the body. And there's a fourth one, divine chastisement. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Turn over there with me, if you will, please. Look there with me as you look at that in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastises and scourges every soul whom he receiveth. And if you find the word son in verse 6, you find the word sons in verse 7 twice and once in verse 8. We're the sons of God. God will not let us just get away with everything we think we want to get away with. Sometimes God will just chastise us, and sometimes he'll give us a whipping to the body. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you've been sick that it's that, but I do think this. I do think that everything that happens to us, we need to examine in our thinking. Make sure we're right with God. I get sick. I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to make sure there's no unconfessed sin in my life. I want to make sure that I'm spending time with God. One of the things I've been able to do last week or two is just spend some more time with God. I was too sick to do anything else. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will put us aside just for those reasons. And so we see here the deterioration of the body. You see, go back to our passage, if you will, please, in the 11th chapter. When Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of might be glorified. I'm glad one day all sickness will leave, never have it again. Our dear lady who was 101 years of age, now home with the Lord. I mean, she's walking the streets of heaven. When I was in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Tennessee recently for 9 months, helping that church out, I would visit every other day. Every other day, a lady was 101 years of age. I was kidding everybody. She was my girlfriend on the side. She'd see me coming. She wanted to give me a big hug, and I enjoyed her so much. And she's now with the Lord Jesus. And I remember that great day. By the way, I don't have funeral services. I call them graduation services. The absent, the body is what? Present with the Lord. But notice here, if you will, please, as we look at this passage, we not only see here the depth of our Lord's love and the deterioration that comes as a result of sickness, but I want you to notice the delay of our Lord. I've already mentioned in verse 4 the purpose of sickness. The purpose of sickness is for the glory of God. Now, I don't feel that way when I'm sick. You don't either if you've got any sense. But it is still the glory of God. God's going to do something so wonderfully through that sickness. It is also, I want you to notice, not only the purpose of all sickness is the glory of God, but would you notice here the providence in God's, in the sickness here. Look here, now, verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he had been sick, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, underline that thought. providence of God. We don't use that word anymore much, do we, in our thinking? But the word providence means pro or before. The word pro video, your life has already been played out. God's already seen it. It's already been played out. Everything about you, God has already seen it ahead of time. And that's the idea here. And so God knew that he was going to die. God allowed it. God arranged it. And delays. How many besides John Stevens has a problem with patience? Rushed up your line or you're asleep. We all want it when? Now. And God's delays may be hard on the flesh, but it is needed for the faith. God will strengthen our faith through the delays that he has. God is doing something far beyond our understanding. Notice not only the providence here, but the perplexity here. Look here and go back here to verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The word love, again, I remind you, is a continual love. And if you really love, why are you delaying? You will find in this passage, the Lord never answers the questions that Mary and Martha will ask. He will not answer it hit their way. But I want you to notice the perplexities are answered in a passage. I want you to leave this. Why? For just a moment and go to 1 Peter 5. And I want you to see in 1 Peter 5 a very important four truth here, if you will, please. In verse 10, you'll find four words there that get us to understand the perplexity. Why did God delay what he's doing? Why is God doing what he is doing? In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his glory, eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while. After you've suffered a while. God has a, you were perplexed why God, I don't, why you got it, why God, you got this, why somebody else didn't get it. Our dear lady here was telling me she hadn't gotten it. I hope you don't get it. Praise the Lord. But why should I get it and she not get it? With that kind of reasoning, please look at the text. He's going to give you four truths here that are absolutely essential to understand why God does what he does. The word perfect. Notice this in verse 10. Make you what? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Four words. The word perfect comes from a word which means to fix that which is broken. Over in Mark chapter 1, verse 19, you remember when they were mending the nets and our Lord wanted to go and put the line out there and net and get some more fish, and he fixed the net that was broken. To fix that which is broken. God sometimes will allow sickness to happen to us because there's something in our life that needs to be fixed. And sometimes the only way he can get our attention is through sickness. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Daniel, in the latter days, people will be running to and fro. We get so busy, we don't have time to fix a broken life. So God lays us aside. The second word is the word establish, whereas the word fix means to fix. The word perfect means to fix that which is broken. The word establish means to firm up the faith, to firm it up. I hope when you go through whatever sickness you go through, that your faith will become stronger through it. You can look at the end and say, boy, my faith is stronger. You know why? Because you spend more time with him. The you didn't do before. The third word is strength. It means to be filled with His strength. To be filled with His strength. That's what the word strength in here. So He means to fix that which is broken, to firm up our faith, to be filled with His strength. And the word settled means to be fortified in your beliefs. You know what sickness will often do? It will cause people to doubt. They will lose, their faith will get damaged. But God will use it when you get through it to fortify your beliefs. You believe Romans, all things work together. How many believe all things work together for good? You better believe that, but I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll put you through something to test you, just see where your belief really is. That's what He'll do. I'll go back with our text there, because we see here, not only do we see here this love that our Lord had and this body deteriorated and this delay in the Lord's coming, but then we find here the disappointment of Mary and Martha. I want you, going back to our text there in chapter 11, and I want you to notice here the verse 21. So we get back up here if we will. Now, we find Lazarus is in the grave. That's normally what you pray, put six bodies, you put them in the grave. And we find here, go down to verse 11, I'm sorry. Chapter 11, verse 11. These things said He, after that He said in them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now the word sleepeth is the word we get the word cemetery. It's with the word. In my 50, going on 52 years in the pastor, I've done many a funeral in Buffalo Ridge, even though I wasn't the senior pastor there, just an interim. I did two or three funerals while I was there. And I would go to that graveside, and I kept thinking about the very fact that the body's sleeping, but the person, pardon my grammar, just ain't there. Hallelujah for that truth, and rejoice in it. But I want you to notice here the endeavor with Martha here. Then we'll look at Mary. As we move down here, verse 21... I'm going to back up again to verse 15. I'm sorry. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not here, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go into him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, with his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany, verse 18, was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. I want you to notice verse 21, because I want you to notice the endeavor of Martha to put God on a guilt trip. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Hey, Jesus, I just want you to know something. It's your fault. If you'd have been here, he would have been alive. I'm glad God does not often respond to our accusations and our foolish talk. Well, this is a foolish statement. Because she was endeavoring to make the Lord look, if you'd really loved him, you would have been here. You wouldn't have delayed, failing to realize that the delays are God's appointment for greater things for us. But notice not only the endeavor of Martha to put a guilt trip on God, because Jesus is who? Who is Jesus? It's God. But notice the error of Martha's made here. Tremendous error in verse 22. You don't see that in your English Bible, in your good old King James, but it's there. Verse 22 in the Greek. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, underline the word ask, A-S-K. There are two words for the word ask here. This is the worst one she could abuse. It's a word which means an inferior asking a superior. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ inferior to God the Father, God the Spirit? No. It's a poor choice of word. There's another word she could have used that mean he was equal. But she uses. So we see not only the endeavor to put a guilt trip, but the error that she committed. But I love this because here we see our Lord's encouraging words. You know, I praise God for how encouraging our God can be in the midst of the fact that we blow it. That we make some stupid statements, we do some stupid things, but our Lord is there to encourage us. They find over here in verse 23, Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last days." But would you get verse 25 and verse 26? Verse 26, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die." I love that verse. One day they're going to put my name in the Lord tarries his coming and that John Stevens died. Don't believe it. That's called false information, because he'll be with the Lord. But no, back up to verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am." The word is the eternal one. It is the same word that is used in the book of Exodus, when the Lord appeared unto Moses at the burning bush, and he says, "Well, who I tell people you are?" He says, "I am. I am the great I am. I'm glad I don't have a God of the past or a God of the future. I have a God of the present. And he is the eternal present one." Then he says, "I am then the resurrection." That's the energizing one. The energizing one. He gives life. It's great to be alive. Isn't it great to be alive today? Well, you folks need to get with it here now. Come on. If you don't want to be alive, we'll have somebody shoot you as you go out the door. You're glad to be alive today in Christ? I'm talking about that kind of life that gives you reasons for living, purpose for being here. And don't you dare waste it. I not only see the I am the everlasting, eternal one. I'm the energizing one. And I am the essential one. Life. You realize that there's only one person who has been born to the human race alive. That was Jesus Christ. Everyone else was born to the human race and dead. D-E-A-D, spiritually. But hallelujah, it's great to have life. It's great to have life. Next time you're down, just thank God for the good blessings of you. I'm alive, not just physically, I'm alive spiritually. I'm going to live forevermore. I'm going to have a new life. I look for it. There'll be no pandemic in heaven. I thank God for the future that God has promised for us. And so we see here this endeavor of Martha. Now please notice the encounter with Mary. Look at verse 28. "And when she had said thus, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secret, saying, The master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that she arose quickly and came unto him." Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha was. The Jews that were with him were in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went in and followed her, saying, "She goeth to the grave to weep there." I want you to notice, look at verse 32. "Then when Mary was come, where Jesus was, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Would you look at verse 21? Those are the same words that Martha said. Same words. Lord, if you would have been here. Oh, we see here the words of Mary. Then we notice something else here. I want you to notice the shortest verse of the Bible. Look with me here in verse 35 and verse 36, or verse 33, pardon me. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also, which weeping came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then look at verse 35. Here we find, and Jesus wept. The word wept here is a word literally meaning a silent. He wasn't moaning and groaning and none of that. These was called silent tears. Do you ever weep silent tears? I have many a time. But I want you to notice there are three times you find the Lord weeping. Scripture. First of all, you find him weeping wife here over the penalty of sin. Lazarus is dead. Why is Lazarus dead? Because that's the penalty of sin. Wages of sin is death. The second time you find him is in fact over there in Luke 19 when he wept over Jerusalem knowing they were going to perish as a nation. And the third time is in the garden as he wept when he knew Calvary, he was facing it. Our Lord Jesus may be the Son of God, but he was also he was a man of many sorrows. He's not a man of sin, but he was a man of many sorrows. He wept. Oftentimes, I pray, Lord, give me that kind of compassion. People have needs. We're so busy. We're so set on ourselves. We're so wrapped up in our own lives. We have no time to weep. Let it be silent weeping. At least shedding tears. Tears of concern for other people. God help us. Then I notice as we close here, we not only see that divine love and devoted love, we not only see here the delay of our Lord Jesus Christ, the disappointment of Mary and Martha who asked the same question or made the same comment. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. That we see here deliverance from the grave. Look with me as we move down to verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And he said, take ye away the stone. There's some thoughts here. He said, remove the stone. You know, sometimes our heart gets so hard, it's like a stone. Sometimes God says, remove the stone of doubt. Do you really believe what you believe? You really believe this book this morning? Well, it's one thing to say it here. It's another thing to say it here and to live it out. God wants to remove the stone of doubt. God wants to remove that. Look there in verse 39, Jesus, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. It's amazing the information we think God needs to get from us. I have a feeling our Lord knew exactly the condition of that body. I'm often careful, reminding people often, be careful with prayer requests. They don't become gossip column, gossip time where we want to share about somebody else. God knows about it. Just pray for so-and-so who needs this help here. Remove the stone of doubt. Jesus said, verse 40, her said I not unto thee that I would, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory. In other words, she had to have that stone of doubt removed. She said, wait a minute, Lord. I have to inform you something you probably don't know. His body stinks. Our Lord doesn't even respond to that. He simply says, really, let's work on your belief. You got a belief problem. Verse 40, said it not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. I just want you to know we're going to have to get rid of that doubt here. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard me because of the people which stood by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! You know, somebody said that if he had not said, Lazarus, come forth, all the graves would have opened that day. I don't know that. But I know, I've often said, I'd love to be having a graveside service at the rapture. You know why? Because the dead in Christ will rise first, which would give us all heart attack, except we're going up next with them. Hallelujah. Removing the stone of doubt is so key in our lives. You have some doubts in your heart today that God is working in your life? Bring forth the dead. And then notice here as we close in verse 44, and he said, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I not only see the removal of the stone of doubt, Mary, Martha, you it's okay. He doesn't stink anymore. Lazarus, come forth. Now it says, and remove the grave clothes of defilement. You know, you and I have a new life in Jesus Christ, and we need to get rid of the old clothes that represents the old life. Clothes of defilement, the old life, the things we used to do, we don't do anymore. Amen? And we're growing in the Lord. Maybe today you need to say, Lord, I got some clothes of defilement. I'm doing some things. Have a thought life that is not good and right. I need to get those off of me. I don't stink anymore, but those clothes do. For I got resurrected in Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is today, I pray. Father, I thank you that we can just be here this morning to look this great truth. I'd like for us to stand together as our song leader comes, leads us in our final hymn this morning. Let's all stand together, and he'll have us turn here to 277. But even before he begins to lead the song and the pianist begins to play, let me just say to you today, are some things in your life that's defiling? You need it cleaned up. If you want to come to an altar, that's fine. If you want to take care of it where you are, do it, but take care of it. This morning, if there's some things you're doubting that God is working in your life and you're trying to put a guilt trip on God because he's not doing it the way you want it, as soon as you want it, when you want it, and why you want it, maybe this morning you need to find that place at the altar. I like to get back to a good old-fashioned altar call. Thank God's in that. God dealing with you. You come this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, can I say this reverently and kindly? You're dead. You're dead. You're alive physically. You wouldn't be standing, but you're dead spiritually. And only Jesus Christ can give you that life that you so desperately need. Brother, you lead us in our final song. I surrender Only trust. 270, yes. Just a couple stanzas of that. If God's dealing with you, let's take care of it this morning. Yes. Only trust Him. Trust Him now. He'll save you from whatever it is you're going through. Don't doubt. One more stanza.
Close our service in prayer.